You're listening to Pastor Larry Lee from The Gathering Place in San Bernardino, California.
Spirit. the sin people will say that the night is coming when the light did work. But the work of God is singular, even though it's inclusive of He came to save the whole world. The Holy Spirit's working in your life. He's working in the lives of your loved ones, your family members, your co-workers, everywhere you are, everything you've been praying about. The Holy Spirit, He's working. He's working. God's working. He hears the prayers of the righteous. The prayers of the righteous, they avail much. I'm telling you, your presence at your workplace, your presence in your family, when you're walking with God, you're walking in the Spirit. You're powerful. Your prayers are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds and casting down imaginations. If we're live according to the flesh, we have to die. But if we live to the Spirit or by the Spirit, then we're constantly looking for things that we can put to death. We're going to say, well, I rebuke that. I cast down that in imagination. It's not going to linger in my mind because my mind now is the mind of God. I used to think like that. But since I became a Christian and everything's brand new to me, I'm going to think differently because if I don't think differently, I'm not going to walk differently. Verse 14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Son of God, then you have to be led by God. I heard someone say one time that they got sick and tired of Christians saying, well, no, I just felt led of the Lord. I just felt led of the Lord. I felt led of the Lord. I felt led of the Lord to buy that lottery ticket. You know, something I can, win the lottery. And the person replied and said, I think you just need to carry a piece of lead around your pocket. And every time you feel like you're being led, you can just, I feel led. You know, I feel led right down here. We have not received the spirit of bondage due to fear, but yet received the spirit of adoption by which we cry, Daddy, Abba, Father. Listen, when I was a heathen, I was being led. My spirit's bodies didn't know to what extent I was being led. But now that I've been made free, indeed, my eyes have been opened and I can see the Spirit's leading. And I have a desire to follow His lead. Don't blame the Spirit for all the leadings that you experience. I felt led to do this. I felt led to do that. You know, I talked to the story about my brother blessing me really well. And I set my heart to just be a blessing to him. So as a result of that, I was able to build a really cool looking diner in my garage. But foolish to say that God led me to build that diner. It was my desire. It was a desire of my heart. It wasn't a desire that's evil. No, it wasn't a desire that's good. Yeah, I believe it was good because I want to use it for God's glory. So God may lead me now to say, oh, I want you to host a bed and breakfast there. I may have a Bible study there. Those would be the leadings of God, that the prophecies of God that I know would be led by the Spirit of God. But everything that we feel led to do doesn't mean that it's the Spirit of God. We especially need to walk with the Lord in the Spirit and grow in the knowledge of our new freedom. Indeed, I love the scripture there in John where it says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Let's go there if you would you? Or John the 8th chapter. Let's look at that in context together. John the 8th chapter. Sorry, just got a text. Turn the phone off. Okay. All right. We used to say it all the time, but we know that you've already learned that. Well, listen. All right, John the 8th chapter, verse number 36. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Would you say that with me? Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Now, personalize it. All right, the Son has made me free, and I am free indeed. All right, now, there's two different usages of the word free. They're slightly different. Actually, the first one comes from the second one. So it's a word of the second word, free. The first word, free, when the Son says free, it means that he's been liberated. I've been liberated. I've been set free. I've been exempt now from the law the same old pit in the same old prison as before. We have to have a purpose. I was preaching to this group here yesterday, and I used those words. It doesn't have to be teaching a Bible study. Your purpose doesn't have to, be some kind of one of the fivefold ministries or those things. Listen, your purpose can be defined by God. If you're a Christian person, and you have children, I can tell you what part of your ministry is all about. It's raising your family in godliness. It's setting a good example for your children. Being a provider, being a protector, being faithful to God so that they see that in your life. That's part of your purpose. God wants to, and you'll give account for how well you did that when you do stand before God. Someday if you're married, your purpose is how much you love and respect the person that God gave to you in your life. It's not hard to define a purpose. And then it takes on different meaning as we grow in God's grace. To be free indeed, though, the alternate of that first word, it means to absolutely have no more restraint on you, to come and go at your pleasure or at your will. It means that you become now a citizen, that you're no longer a slave. You're a citizen. Your citizenship is just like you've been freeborn. Like you were born in that country. Born in that state. To be free indeed means that you're exempt from the liability and obligation of the old life. You're absolutely free in your life as a man or woman at liberty. And that being free indeed is quite a different story. It's like being free indeed is like walking out of a prison house. When you get outside, there's a limo waiting for you. And the limo driver has your name on the sign. You get in, you're taken to the airport, where you're given tickets to a country far away. Your luggage is already on ahead of you. And you're taken to a completely different country where from where you were born and raised. And when you get off the plane, you're welcomed to your new home. And you're given papers of citizenship, and you're told to make yourself at home. But it's all foreign to you, but it's ever so real. I'm a citizen. It gives me rights. It gives me privileges. Turn to Colossians, the first chapter of Colossians. Is the first chapter. And I'd like you to read about verse number 13. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the beloved Son of His love. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Can you see the story? The one prisoner gets out of prison. Nobody's waiting for him. He's free, but he doesn't know what his privileges are, what his rights are. So he goes back to the same old, same old. The second scenario, the one who's free indeed realizes the prison door's been opened, and now everything's brand new. I'm living in a new place. I'm walking in a different place than I ever walked before. I have authority, and I have the rights as a citizen all that is mine because I'm a citizen. In Hebrews, the 12th chapter says, but you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are written or registered in heaven, or rather citizenship in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of blessed men made perfect. I'm a citizen of heaven. As a free person with a citizenship in a new place, I need to understand my rights. The word free in both the Old Testament Testament and the New Testament. And it says this in the Hebrew dictionary and also in the Greek dictionary. I thought it was kind of amazing. It's a word that you probably never heard before. Manumitted. It means to be set free. It means that we've been manumitted. Manumitted. I've been manumitted. Well, what in the world does that word mean? It means to be discharged from slavery. It means to be emancipated. That means to be free from someone or someone else's control or power. Can you see how powerful the deliverance that Christ did for you when it says that he transferred you or translated you? He ripped you out. He made you a darkness where you were bodies to sin, where you were led by devil else, and he put you in the kingdom of his beloved Son. But he didn't just free you. He set you free indeed. He said, you're a citizen. You're registered in hell. You have a born. You have rights. All of the promises of God are to you. Yes. And an amen through Jesus Christ. That's ours. All of that's mine. Yeah. It's mine. Go with me to Isaiah, the 54th chapter. Isaiah, the 54th chapter. You know this verse very, very well. But I want to back up, and I want to go to verse number 16 of Isaiah 54, beginning at verse number 16, then we'll get down to the famous scripture in verse 17. Behold, I have created the blacksmith who blows the coals in fire, who brings forth an instrument for his work. And I have created the spoiler or the waster or the destroyer to destroy. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. Now, listen, let's look at the context of this scripture for us right here, Isaiah 54, 16. Because he said, I created the blacksmith. I created the destroyer to destroy. What did God do? Did he say, well, in the beginning, God, I created the angels, and now I need a devil to do my work? No, when he created the cherubim, and he created the seraphim, when he created want you to curse my people, but go on the mountain with him anyway. Man, he was so torn by covetousness. He was so torn by greed. He wanted to just come out of the curse. But when he opened his mouth, the blessing came out of his mouth. Sealed by God for an incredible purpose of God. God's going to bring it to pass. God's going to unfold it. He's getting us ready. We're at a precipice in the Spirit. And I know that there's going to be some fears that will have to be overcome by those who have not been in that place before. The things of the Spirit of God where we've not been before, and they're foreign to us. It's going to take faith and it's going to take unity of spirit together to say, listen, I really believe that God's going to unite the heart of his church, us, and the whole body. things up a little bit here. Listen, nothing they set their heart to do will be impossible. With men, things are going to be impossible. But with God, all things are possible. David, he was no match for Goliath in the natural. But this is his confession. I can do all things in God who strengthens me. I can run on a trip. I can leap over a wall. I can bend a bow of bronze. One man slayed a thousand. Saul killed his thousand, then he killed his tens of thousands. He murdered Benjamin for his daughter. Saul's daughter was 1,000 foreskins. David killed 1,000 Philistines by himself, single handed. And now there are enough foreskins to say, I want her. It's wonderful to me. I'll put my life on the line to gain what I am passionate for. Will you be willing to put your life on the line to gain what you're passionate for in your life? I pray that you will. And I believe in my heart that you will. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you, God, for our congregation. I thank you for each and every one, young and old. You are not respected of persons, God. You are not restrained to say by many or by few. Lord, I want you to so teach us, Holy Spirit, how to walk with you, how to talk with you, how to pray, how to live our lives, how to mortify the deeds of our flesh, so that we can walk around with this bold, bold declaration, as bold as a lion. I've been set free by the Son of God. I've been set free by Jesus. Christian. I would greatly value it.